Hello and welcome to the third episode of FanDuel's podcast. I'm Sasha Markovic, known as Mark of Victory, and today I'm very glad to be joined by the champion of the calling, Auckland, Mr. Isaac Olsen himself. How are you, Isaac?
I'm good. How's it going? We'll take a champion of the first calling, history books and all, but yeah, glad to be here.
Excellent. More than happy to have you here. All right, so how's it been since you brought that trophy up? Has it been all glamour of fighting off paparazzi, or?
Of course, mate. There's everyone's following the Fab game. No, I actually live in Napier, which we currently have one store that is kind of stocking the game. I think he bought one case in, and essentially we tried to get a sale going and realized there wasn't enough product in the store to actually run a sealed tournament. So that didn't end up happening. So in terms of Fab, it's pretty slow, bit of online testing, but I'm slowly amping for February.
He's going to win all the Auckland events. Is that your plan?
That's it. Just come out of retirement every time there's an event in New Zealand and then play and then back to retirement, go live in the Sunny Hawks Bay and drink some wine.
Love it. That's bloody awesome. So, who are you playing online with? Are you preparing a lot, or it's still very, very early because the next Auckland event's in Feb, and it's currently November, end of November.
Yeah, it's super early. I'm playing with Jason at the moment. Shout out to back-to-back top eight. That guy's 100% at the moment from tournaments played. So a bit of a legend.
You guys are just writing history for yourselves. Like, I'm envious.
Let's see what we get in Auckland, though, if we can pull some funky tech out there. But so we're playing a little bit. It's early, but I think with the game in the state it is, I think even by February most people will not be playing optimally, given the 3 months, and actually given like how little game time you actually get. I don't know, I never played Magic, but one of these games can easily take, let's say, 40 minutes if you're playing for Tea Guardian. I mean, it can go 60+, right?
Yeah.
So if you play, even if you play 5 hours a day for the next 2 months, you know, and you are only playing for Tea Guardian, what's that? It's like 35 hours a week. We're calling it an hour a game. You're getting 35 games in, times it by eight. You're at like less than 300 games. That's one against, you're not against each class. You're talking less than 100 games against each class. There's no way you can play optimally at that point. So I think the more practice you can get in, the better, and there's going to be misplays fucking everywhere in Auckland, which will be hilarious and good and a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I can't imagine the pain that must go through the devs' minds when they watch people play. Like, I don't know about you, but I definitely made a lot of misplays in the first Auckland one, and you should certainly punish me for it as well.
Mate, rolling the dice badly is always a misplay.
Yeah, I don't know why I choose to roll the ones. It's always a mistake.
But that's it. But like you said, if you picture it as an Iron Rot with an upside, all the cards are good, right?
It's exactly. And I love Iron Rot, so.
Yeah, I mean, the misplays, Auckland, it was a wee while ago now, but there were definitely a lot. I know the reaction step was a catch-up, and even after the tournament, I had people being like, no, that's not how it works, that is how it works. But I remember, like, explicitly being told that this was the step of the game, that people are just gonna mess up constantly, and if you're playing Warrior or you're playing against them and you want to play in Auckland, go read the rules and ask heaps of questions on the forums, because I never played Magic, but in Magic, is it right that you don't have priority regained during each chain? Like, once the chain starts resolving, it just completely empties out.
No, priority goes back and forth, and you can also hold priority as you play something. It's really awkward. You can't communicate what you want to happen.
Okay, so you can. So you can, like, resolve half the chain and then jump back in and carry on putting things in it and stuff?
Correct.
Oh, okay, well, then it's the same. That's all good. I don't know why all you guys are having trouble then. There's no excuse.
I think it's just, a physical, like, interpretation. Like, a chain is going to go horizontally, where a stack, it kind of grows forward. People can visualize a stack going up and down.
Yeah.
I think it's just a visual thing in their brain's eye.
So they mislabeled it, maybe, and that's causing people
issues. If they called it a stack, it works and functions exactly the same way as a stack, but just...
We should have called it a ladder, you know? Put things on the ladder. Nice and easy.
A stack of a Z.
That's it. Exactly. But Auckland, I mean, yeah, Auckland was heaps of fun. How many? It's like a month ago now, isn't it?
It feels like forever, but it's also really fresh. Does that even make sense? Every game, it's just super visceral. Like, you remember, well, maybe not for you, but I remember all the losses because you never lose.
Yeah, no losses, no memories, man. I only remember the one die roll that you rolled that gave me the W. No. I remember, of course, you remember parts of it, right? You remember the silly moments like Double Stroke of Foresight for +6 is always a good one, which I think I commented on.
That's hot, yeah.
When you're doing it in sealed, man, like, no one sees that stuff coming.
Especially when you've played 6 already. I'm like, the average is done. He's out. Right. And he keeps going.
You say that, man, but, like, I'm looking at all these draft, like, you know, it's popular on the website right now on Facebook to put these draft picks up.
Yeah.
And there's the same comment every time, which is just like, whoa, that's a lot of red cards, right? So I don't know if it's not an even distribution or something, but there's a lot of red cards kicking about, and be ready for them.
It's scary. It can be really scary.
It's completely changed those, just on a quick segue, like those pack photos.
Yeah.
Are definitely like changing my draft perspective. The power of draft is, like, the power level of the packs is much higher than I initially thought it was on average.
Oh, absolutely. Like, a sealed deck kind of looks like a wimpy little child compared to, like, a draft deck. The draft decks are insane.
Yeah, and I guess that's, like, often the way even in other games. But I think the seal just, you know, you struggle from the fact that you almost just include all of your cards and you get no choices to it, right? Like, it almost builds itself.
Yeah, you're essentially pigeonholed. You might have a few like flex slots, but nothing too ridiculous. If anything, in this game, you're just adding those extra cards and going to 32 or 33. You don't really need to play the minimum.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of the time, because you get through your deck, it's not as relevant as to like whether you're running 30 or 33 in a sealed deck where you're not pulling off combos, or like the speed of your efficiency doesn't often make a big difference. I actually think the game is often won or lost by people choosing to attack or defend.
Yeah, the only things you can do in your turn, correct.
That's it. Make the right choice. The game's easy, right?
Absolutely.
But yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I guess what I mean is like people want to attack more than they want to defend, because when you defend, you feel like you're losing. But like, at the same time, you have to defend correctly to swing the tempo, right?
Yeah, like, it feels much more natural to just attack and spend your cards. I think we covered this in an earlier episode where attacking is like a problem that you can solve and you know all the variables pretty much, like, in front of you. When defending, like, the reaction window is what's questionable and people mess that up a lot.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. It's important, for sure. I mean, I guess if you're talking about, like, how the attack and defense in the game works, like, every card in this game performs the function of every card, which is very powerful, and it allows you to play with a lot of fluidity. In starting to play Constructed, one of the things I'm realizing is that as much as people ran into this game headfirst going, like, oh, it's so nice not to be landlocked, welcome to Constructed, you're going to get screwed by not drawing your blues or whatever the fuck you're trying to pick up, and you're going to cry that this turn would have been fine as long as I had my resource, and it's going to happen a lot, I guarantee it. Auckland 10K, people are going to be running around in circles like, man, I don't get it, why can I not play my turn out? It gets pretty mathematical pretty fast, I think, but in saying that, my deck building could just be terrible, so...
Do you, by that notion, do you predict that a lot of people will be blocking with their red cards in Auckland in February?
Will you be blocking with red cards?
Because, like, in Sealed and Draft, you kind of don't want to block your red cards at all because they're the ones that push stuff over the edge.
Yeah, I think...
people will be overloaded with reds because now they have the option of adding as many as they want.
I think more often than not, people's mistake will come from not defending enough. They'll want to try and push damage where probably there was no damage to be gained. And it's pretty complicated because, you know, it depends quite heavily on, like, at a basic level, and I forget one of the fab authors, I think it was Jason or something, developers said, you know, the easy way to work out is the amount of damage you can push compared to the amount of damage you can defend. And if you can like attack with a card for say 4 and it's only going to defend for 2, then black and white, you should just attack with it. And I don't think it's that simple, but I think that's like the beginning level of gameplay that a lot of us are going to be playing at in Auckland. And often that will end up, well, I guess often is the wrong term, otherwise it wouldn't be a good line to play. But I think it's wrong enough of the time that you can't use that as your only discerning breakdown.
Right, yeah. I know the article that you're referencing, the Jason one describing head jab, because in the Ira deck, because it only attacks for 1, you should more often than block with it or use it as a resource, because that's where it's like a surplus compared to its other statistics.
Mm.
But I think that's kind of like a weird vacuum where every card has go again, essentially, and like the attack value of a card is kind of just like a total pool of all of your cards. Whether like attacking with like the red wounding blow, attack for 4 for 0 is kind of like kind of worthless unless it's like your only attack from the arsenal or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that highlights another thing. Like attacks from the arsenal, I think are great. And I know we get told to put defense reactions in the arsenal a lot, but honestly, some of these cards, you flip them out the arsenal, it's absolute gas. Check that in Light and Strike, eh? That card is, it'll break the format. I reckon it will be in the winning deck. There's a prediction for 10K Auckland.
Like how many copies? 3 of them or 6 of them? Or
mate, if I could run 60 in Light and Strikes, in fact, if I could run 60 in Light and Strikes on my deck, I think I'd do. That's how good I think it is. Because every turn I can just swing for 15 to 22, right? Like that's, oh no, I can only, what can I do? Yeah, I can get,
you can do 12.
12. Yeah, yeah, that's not as good as I thought it was. Unless yeah, 12 I'm playing is like the average, like Guardian. Man.
Like it's pretty low.
12 is yeah. Nah, but okay, look, if I can run 30 of them and 30 like energy potions or some shit, well, oh, I don't want energy potion. That doesn't work with me either.
No, it does. If you play Ninja, you get a smack for additional 2. You're
additional
fine.
2 yeah. value.
14, your surplus 2 damage every turn and they have to block the whole hand. That's good. That's winning strategy.
That's game winning.
They're taking 3 because one of the attacks is 7.
Exactly, and I do that in, well, I just do that every turn for 3, did you say? I do that every turn for like 13 and a bit and I win the game and they can't win. Yeah. Perfect.
Figured it out, broken.
There you go, that's what's winning Auckland 10K, lots of Enlightened Strikes.
I don't want to influence the player base, but I do think it's those two cards as well. Like Energy Potion in particular, I think it's the best card in the game.
Yeah, Energy Potion's a tough one. I think Energy Potion will be the best card in the game. I don't know how, I haven't read, and I probably should figure out, like, but I'm not that forward thinking, how many sets are being played and constructed at a go, like, whether it's 4 or 6 or whatever it is. I think by the time we get to the last set, Energy Potion will be one of the best cards in the game.
Right.
Until it rotates out.
Cards don't rotate. Energy Potion is going to be illegal forever. Only cards that get banned are like the heroes, so essentially the specialization cards.
Okay, well, Energy Potion will be there until we get a power card creep and they bring out Energy Potion 2.0 and it gives me 3 points.
The red Energy Potion that adds 4.
that's open for a bit, eh? Because they could bring out red Energy Potion that pitches for 1 and, I don't know, gives you 3. I don't know how you balance that. I don't know if, like, 4 seems a little bit overpowered.
4 is probably not that much better than 3, to be honest. Nah, it's probably fine.
I don't know, man. 4 will get you...
It doesn't block in Guardian and it doesn't pitch for anything. It's probably fine.
But if you play it, then it's a 1 card double hit in things like Brute, which is kind of stupid, right? So you'll be able to play Energy Potion 1 turn. And the next turn, of course, you roll your Scab Skin for that cheeky 3.
Yeah.
Like 3 action points, I'm talking. So you get your 6, pop your potion, and you're just away laughing with like a double attack and the weapon swing, all from your pre-setup card, which is just stupid.
Yeah.
It's too many.
It definitely makes the card way more linear, where Energy Potion right now it serves both functions of like resources from pitch and the investment.
Yeah. Do you think it stands out in any deck in particular?
Absolutely Ninja.
Ninja, you just want your Kodachi life?
Yeah, Kodachi is like for days.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, it's
probably the worst in Warrior, but like, I'm not sure what Warrior build you want to play. Like, you want to play Route and Driving Blade, or
yeah, I think it's the least obvious in Warrior, and that's because you can always play in Warrior, right? So there's not really a turn where you probably end up and you're like, well, I guess I just energy potion. Because worst case scenario, like, let's take that energy potion into any other card. You can always pitch it and weapon swing, even if it's red. Pitch it and weapon swing and, like, get your three poking, which is, you know, it's not a great turn, but it's never a terrible turn, right?
Yeah, it's just playing it, which is the awkward thing. Which is, so you probably need to play Driving Blade or Flock.
Yeah.
So, like, you bait with a weapon and then you just play the potion. I think that's probably the best version of the ball, the version that just does that and then just, like, hits with a lightning strike or something. Just uses the weapon as bait.
Yeah, or you can go the other way and you can bait and then go with a weapon and laugh all the way to the bank. That's always a nice way as well.
You have to bait with something relevant. You have to bait with, like, a snatch or something.
Snatch, another great card in the set. We're just listing off. We're just rolling off power cards.
Might as well build
right
the decks now.
So we're running three energy potions, three enlightened strike, three snatch. Look at that. They're all zero cost, which is like...
premium for ninja.
Premium for ninja. So are we just saying ninja's winning?
I think so. I would bet the ninja wins.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've played a few games against it. I think like I said, I have a very limited number. I probably have sub 10 games going here. But the Lord of Wind combo is not as good as the Kick combo. I'll just put that out there. If anyone's questioning which one to put on, don't go spend $400 on Lord of Wind. Just put your kicks in and fucking laugh as you hurricane tap this guy multiple times.
Over and over.
It's actually like... Because at least, like, your opponent is always going to block the Mugenshi strike, right?
Yeah, but they have to dump their hand. If they don't dump their hand, they don't know what they're doing.
But then, like, against the Kick combo, it feels bad on the other side where they hit for 17. And you're like, if I want to do anything, I can dry her back, but I probably can never hit for more than 17. So I just, like, it never feels good.
What's the low end on the Kick combo? Is it 13?
The low end, yeah, take 4 off.
Yeah, 13, yeah.
But what is it? It's 2-4-4-4, right? 14 then.
No, the Rising Lead Thrust will be 2 or 3, right?
The Rising Lead Thrust is plus 2, it's 1 plus 2, so it's 3.
Yeah.
So it's 2-3, but it's 5 on the Kick, so it's 2-3-5-4, so it's 14.
Yeah, cool.
Which is
still insane.
That's still super high. That's more, and it costs you 3 pitch to do it that way.
It costs nothing. It costs you a tunic activation, and then if the Rising Knee Thrust connects, like, the problem is getting the Knee Thrust to connect.
Why? The Knee Thrust doesn't have to connect,
you
though.
You need to find the Hurricane Kicks.
Like, yeah, just leg tap that boy.
Nah, the leg tap's never going to connect. They always block the first one.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the question with Ninja at the moment, right? It's which attacks do you block? And again, like...
That's why you open the center and they can't block it and you're always going to guarantee Pounding Gale. That's why it's so good.
But I don't know, man. Like, the point I have against it, and it's the same... I guess it's like I said at Auckland 10K, when you attack, they can defend and they can make bad decisions. Against Ninja, it just always feels like you're making the wrong decision, you know? Like, it feels so bad.
As the attacker?
No, as the defender. So they leg tap you and you... block it, and then they just have, like, the natty red rising knee coming behind it.
Yeah.
It feels horrible, right? Because now you're trying to block 5, you've already wasted a few cards, and they're about to go find their thing. But, like, you know, it's like there's no good attacks to block against Ninja.
Yeah.
Or even worse, like, they leg tap you, and then they've got their tunic, and they, like, surging strike you for 5, and now it's just, you're terrible, because you know that, like, the Whelming Gust Wave for 4 with the draw ones coming... That means the mask is on, and now.
Yeah, there's so many factors to block against. You can't really win that way, like, if you're defending that much.
Maybe we're just gonna race them, eh? But I don't know how you're gonna race the ninja.
Yeah, you have to play Sharpened Steel Warrior or something. Even though I think Sharpened Steel's a trash card, but
I think that's true. I think Warrior can probably race it. I guess
very likely, but they have to play the bad cards. That's the issue.
Like, I played Brute against it, and I don't think Brute can race it. Like, you can't, like, don't get me wrong, Brute has the damage output, but I don't think it will race fast enough unless, like, you draw your Blood Rush Bellow early and you get, like, a good Blood Rush turn straight away, and then they're on the back foot, right? Because a lot of the game is, like, it's the exact same in Sealed, in that Sealed is a hyper, like, a super sped-up version of the game. And what happens is the first person to be in lethal range is in trouble, right? And the Warrior deck I drafted, and same as the Guardian, like, the Warrior deck I sealed, sorry, and the Guardian deck I drafted, the goal is to, like, just race to lethal range and then have a better lethal, because once you're defending from that position, it's terrible. And the Warriors, I think Ninja has the best lethal range. So, like, as soon as you get to even around that 19 mark, they can threaten lethal, right? Which means you have to be blocking at some point, which means you're going to, like, hit back less. And then to get them in lethal range, I think, like, on a good Warrior turn, you can swing for about 25, but it's a very good one. And it's, like, requires you to somehow get your weapon through. So, like, they have the opportunity to just completely nullify it, and you will get zero damage in. Whereas the Ninja will get damage in. A good Brute turn, like, yeah, if you hit a good Blood Rush Bellow and you roll well with your Scab Skin, maybe you'll hit a 25. But, like, do you know what I mean? They feel like very difficult ways to get to 20 compared, compared to a Ninja who, like, plays Leg Tap and he's threatening lethal straight away. Like, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's like two-turn lethal, here it comes.
Which, I mean, that leads you back to Guardian, and they're good. I mean, you can Spinal Crush the Ninja and it's pretty much GG if you can just chain them.
That is the one positive of Guardian. It kind of alters how the Ninja deck functions, because they have to, you have to play the defense reactions, otherwise you're just going to lose.
Yeah, and in fact, if they're playing the defense reactions, they're playing with, you know, on average, three card turns or three and a bit.
Yeah, like the game slows down immensely. Instead of, like, threatening two-turn lethals, you're now leaking each other for, like, two.
Yeah. All right, so now we've said Ninja will win, and then we're going to counter the meta and all play Guardian. So
I think it's probably still correct to play Ninja, because people just won't know how to block correctly.
That's true.
Like, the mask is the real problem card already. Like, you could just go Kodachi, Hedrab, and they have to block the Hedrab, and then you can just get value by going a Lightning Strike or anything else.
You can tell which class James White plays, eh?
Right.
And he actually does, man. He plays Ninja.
Foretold.
Just gave them, like, the slight, you know, the mask of the Beast Legendary. I would love to play Guardian, but I feel like it's just unfair that I have to play with a one Legendary and not two. And I feel like it's actually, it is a bit of a power difference.
Yeah, like, it kind of is a little bit of a sting, right? Like, but Battleworn 2 is insane as well. Like, that's, yeah, but everyone's
armor has Battleworn 2, right? Like, the braces have it, and the...
No, just, yeah, the braces. And the leather.
Nah, the scabs can leather have it as well.
Don't, I only play Ninja, so that's only one I'm...
Let me go pull up the list. I think they all have Battleworn 2. I think all the... Well, the Ninja one breaks.
Ninja's got Blade Break 1 or is it Blade Break 2? I think it's Blade Break 2.
Blade Break 2, I think, but I'm pretty sure the other two are both Battleworn 2, so they're, like, both good, except... So the benefit is that you...
So that's an indication already that the Ninja one's busted if they just remove Battleworn from it.
Yeah, they're like, it has to break if you defend with it. Yeah, yeah. Scab Skin's Battleworn 2, man. So it's like, they're all Battleworn 2. So the difference is, as a Guardian, you get to run either Snapdragon Scalers, which
you have to
means you have to rebuild. And if you do that, then at least you get the benefit of, if you run Triple Forge for War, you get three uses out of it, unlike the Iron Rot Leggings, which only get you one.
Absolutely. And you probably play like a one of Enlightened Strike and just make that go again for Scalers. That's your one-off. Yeah, you do.
No, I just one off Snatch, man. That card's so gas. It's
Snatch,
not even funny.
I think Snatch is better than the Enlightened Strike in that deck.
I think
Enlightened Strike blocks better than, that's pretty hot.
I think Snatch is better than Enlightened Strike as a one off because essentially it allows you to play with the rest of your hand still. So Enlightened Strike, you know, you can go in for this, you can still do the draw, so the five, but I think I would rather have, if I get to play with one card, I'd rather have, or like, let's say two cards, I'd rather have the Snatch than the Enlightened Strike. And if I have five cards, I'm probably going to cripple and crush you, so I don't need the Enlightened Strike.
I love how you just said earlier you want 30 Enlightened Strikes, 30 energy potions, and then you just cut the one Enlightened Strike from Guardian.
The issue is, it's like, you have to choose when you want to play the card, right? And I think in all the other decks, like, the benefit to Enlightened Strike, this touches on why the card is so good, is because if you either A, Arsenal it, or B, you get stuck with it at the end of a turn with one other card, it's the most efficient card that can be played from that point. Like, in terms of like filtering, right? So you can either swing for five and guarantee an Arsenal down, which is super gas, or you can like swing for the seven if you really need to try, like if you're down towards the end of the game, or then the go again is kind of not relevant, but you force damage or you force a double block. Whereas snatch is in the situation where you get right down to the end and you're doing nothing but playing the card out to try force a block by itself. And so like it's just it plays off zero cards, but it does one less damage, right? And I think Guardian is more likely to be playing with like five or zero.
Equate the extra card from snatch, because you have to put it on the bottom, like for a minor strike, is like equivalent to three life. You can just
play it like that. Yeah, that's true. Which is good in Guardian, right? And against the other decks, do you want to race?
Maybe I actually agree with you. I think like playing the snatch is way better. As your target for snap tracking scalers.
Yeah, I mean, I was currently running like a blue snatch, but I don't even know if it's worth it.
Because you don't care if the snatch draws a card, right? You just want it to take a card out of their hand. Is that the idea?
Correct. You don't like in the Guardian version, you don't care if it hits. Essentially, you're just trying to reduce the damage coming in. But there will be turns where you need to pitch it for three and not one. I think Blue Snatch is, outside of Ninja, the better version of Snatch, which goes against what some people have been saying. Everyone's like, the red one's going to do four damage, but at the end of the day, I don't know. Blue's so flexible, and if you're running a one-off or something, then I think the flexibility outweighs the aggression.
Because it's just a card for a card.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then, like in Guardian, that's good, right? If you can reduce them down to playing three or two card hands, you're like, that's the whole point of swinging the weapon for six. You just want them to drop and then not combo you.
Yeah, like they have to block that. There's no way they're wearing six for like no cards.
And the other thing is, like, at the end of the day, if you swing in four as a Guardian and
they're still leaking one, like, it's great.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's all up in the air. Like I said, I haven't played tons and my decks are definitely terrible most of the time, but the card powers are starting to show slowly, which is all that really matters.
What card that we haven't talked about yet has impressed you the most so far?
Card specific or not card specific?
Like whatever. Like if you some like yellow version of X, or just like some one of the three cards. Like, even something that hasn't impressed you, like, have you realized Blessing and Deliverance is, like, one of the most trash cards in the game?
Pummel, I think, is good and will be interesting. I think there can be great value in it. I don't know where you're playing it. Essentially, the issue with
that... Yeah, you do. You know where Pummel's gone.
straight in. Exactly. Maybe. It's hard. Blessing and Deliverance, I understand why Guardian players want to play it, right? But I don't, like, essentially the reason people say it's good is because with a two card hand you can pitch, play your right, but like that's still not that good, because on average you probably gain, I don't know what number people are running, my Guardian version is not the best, I don't think it's about 50-50, so you're gaining, let's say, on average 1.5 life on the red, 1 on the yellow, and 0.5 on the blue, right? Which is not a lot of life to gain, and you increase your swing by 2, but you don't actually increase the swing if you were just running another 3 cost or higher blue. You'd still be swinging for the 6, right?
Yep.
So, like, the overall gain is a small amount of life for what... It seems really good. I think it seems good because you get to play your cards, and you get to draw your cards, and you get to attack.
Because you get to do things, right? Stuff happens, and it's exciting. Yep.
Exactly, but I don't think the actual card weighs in heavier than a normal card. Like, if you take out the fact that you're swinging for the plus six, it's a sigil, right? At best, it's a sigil.
Mm.
And I actually think it's way, way, way worse than a sigil, because sigil's got a bit of gas to it, secret gas. You can play it on the first turn for the plus three.
Super secret. Or if your opponent just has a dud turn, then you just cash it in, it's profit.
Cash it in, or you can threaten to be hitting back with four cards and then play it at the end of your turn for your plus three, and they've held back like a block or two, and they're again, feels bad.
Yeah.
Feels bad. I did it actually in I don't think it was the finals of the 10K. It wasn't against you, but I did it against someone, like held back and then played it as the last card in my attack turn. And you can just see people like, that is horrible.
Yeah, it's nice against like the better players where you can bluff the pummel and they have to respect it. Yeah. But I think the true cost of blessing is the reveal. Because every time my opponent plays it, I just get to like be two steps ahead and actually
Yeah,
play in two turns.
see the whole
It
hand, you
seems
get to
so
see.
easy to like navigate around it.
So it's interesting because the other quest or the other like kind of good thing as well is if you run less of the blessings, well, I guess it pushes you towards Vanilla Guardian. You can like run less high cost cards and you can actually distribute your deck a little more evenly because you know, you've just got your Anathoth, but if you actually want to swing with something else, then that's not such a big deal. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. I'd love someone to come through and prove me wrong and win with like Fatigue Guardian and run all nine copies of it. And, you know, I'd be quite happy to look at it and go, okay, I've made a bad mistake. But on at face value, it doesn't seem that valuable to me.
Yeah, both on the statistics and like experience gameplay, I would agree. You
So,
mentioned Fatigue Guardian. Do you think Drone is going to be a key card at the February Auckland calling?
no, I don't think so. I think the issue with drone or fatigue or anything is at the end of the day, based on the average human being, I think more people prefer to play the cards than to defend and get that like satisfaction from being like, haha, you're decked out. Most people just want to cross the other person's life title out and write zero.
Right.
So it tends to be that more people play decks that attack than decks that defend. And that's been in like I've only seriously played one other card game, but that was always the case. So I think there'll be enough decks that if you're playing drone or if you're like relying on drone at some point, you need a really good matchup. And I think a lot of people won't be side decking it where maybe they should be. The question is in Constructed, does it win you the game? It probably doesn't. It's not like sealed, right? Like I know this like draft strategy is slowly leaking out and people are starting to comment on it. And it's true in sealed, the deck is, or limited, I think we call it, the deck is, the card is mental because you will inevitably not have decks that are strong enough to kill someone over the 30 cards. Right? The power will not be high enough. And so
Yeah.
if you have two drones and they don't, you will just be able to choose to defend every attack, and then you probably will not be able to die. So it's different. Whereas in Constructed, I expect if your deck is meant to kill the other person, then it is strong enough. And if you don't kill them, you either A, had a bad combination, or B, you played your deck out wrong. So
Totally agree with you. And it is interesting seeing the limited strategy leak in those like booster pack images on Facebook and stuff. People now opting to first pick the drone, or even saying, "I know drone is correct. I don't know how to play it," but
yeah.
it's kind of interesting that people have caught on.
It's, I mean, it's, it was,
Because
I,
we talked about this day one, like.
yeah, we talked about it. You know, this was meant to be your strategy going into the draft for New Jersey, mate,
It
and you
did. I
failed.
first picked drone.
You first picked
I first picked drone. Easy.
it. You didn't see a second? Nah, you were locked into. Did you see a second one?
I did not see a second one. I was
Okay.
open for the second drone for a pack and a half.
Oh.
I didn't go into ninja heavy until halfway through pack two. The only ninja stuff I had was like a couple flick flacks and like just
Okay.
random generic reds that I thought would just fit the deck. And then eventually I turned into the aggro draft.
I remember reading actually the winner in New Jersey may have had two drones.
No, he took the second one.
He took the second one.
Yeah, he
So
was
he
directly to
knew it
my
was
left.
coming.
So it was actually open to the guy directly to my right. And it
Yep.
went all the way around to the guy to my left and he just took it.
Oh wow,
So
that's interesting.
I almost got the second drone.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I also think just while we're on the limited topic, I think it also fundamentally or like on base value is very strong because we are all playing limited in a particular fashion. But like I was telling you about your game, if you actually change your game play up, then it's actually not as strong as it seems again. So it's one of these, you know, like, it happens quite a bit in card games and things like that. It becomes the strategy to beat until people adapt and realize that what you need to do is just swing with your weapon every turn and hold off attacking, essentially, right? So the game becomes a leak war, and you're leaking two with Kodachi, and you're blocking whatever the Guardian's doing, but it becomes a very fine balance, and you can get there. You essentially need the Guardian to play, it's not exact mathematics, but you want to be playing with two cards in hand, right? So you want to attack with two cards and then to block two cards. You want to get the Kodachi damage in for two, and then eventually you should actually get to the point where you can try get a combo and finish it. But I think a lot of us at the moment are playing in limited instead of on a deck value. At least I know I was, even at 10K Auckland. You're playing it on like a two or three turn value, and that makes a big difference in the strategy of droning.
I 100% concur again. Like, the deck value is like the actual resource that determines the winner of that game. The only caveat there is when you're playing against Guardian, you actually have to pressure with at least like one or two cards in hand. Because if they start with four cards, you can't prevent the leak. They're just going to hit you.
They're just going to dominate you.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly. Like, that was, I joked about it on the Facebook page, but that, you know, I was like, my Guardian deck was made to swing for five, like eight intimidate every turn or dominate.
Yeah.
And if you look at my life total games, like, that's exactly what happened. It was just like 5-5-5-5, just chunk them down over four turns. And it's funny because, like, I think the issue is all of these strategies, like, they're kind of cheese strategies, right? And if you don't know what's about to happen, by the time you realize, you've defended against the first one and you're five life down, and then, like, you're in a really bad spot. You almost need to take the whole hit, and then you need to hit back harder and prevent me from doing it. But, like, the issue was people were playing me, and, yeah, I get to attack first, and I would just dominate them. And then by the time they realize what was going on, the life totals are too far apart that they just can't catch back up. And so again, it comes down to this thing. If you know what the other person is doing, you can play around it. But if you don't, you react too slowly and it's a game loss.
Yeah. Like, not just like the life totals, like the hand disparity, because they're down to three cards every turn because they're choosing to like, oh, I only can save three, so I might as well utilize that option than not utilize that option. It's kind of like a logical path that most people take.
Yep. It's like a fool's choice on it, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I think the worst class to combat this gameplay is Warrior, because the weapon will leak nothing. You have to spend a card to leak.
Yeah, and you don't have enough go again. And like, I guess it's the benefit is like they can force leak, but you're right. Essentially, the
deck advantage free is gone.
Exactly, and the free damage in Warrior comes from the second attack, which in limited you don't have a guarantee. You have a load of that, right? And constructed, you can guarantee that you have the second attack on tap every turn, essentially. But in limited, you don't have that, like, kind of luxury, in which case your, like, free weapon damage disappears, whereas all the other classes, they get weapon damage for free, which is powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Warrior is kind of muted in limited.
Mm, yeah.
It takes a lot to do well with Warrior. You will know, because your Warrior deck was busted.
I don't even know. No, okay, it was a wee bit busted. It had some good attack pumps.
Do you think the one that I got to play in New Jersey was better? Or
when you showed it to me, I thought it was. I don't have, like, I never put them down card for card, but it was very close. I think when I originally picked up my Warrior, I thought it was better than it was because I think I had four driving blades in it. But they're actually quite hard to pull off unlimited because, you know, it's a four-cost turn,
yeah.
And you don't have anything to take advantage of. Like, if you play it in Constructed, I know people hate on it a lot compared to Warrior's Valor, but if you play it in Constructed and your deck is made to play it, then you can do things like play the Driving Blade, attack, and then, like you said, Energy Potion, or you can snatch in afterwards, or you can flock, or you can do all these things. And so it creates hard decision making for the opponent, which is what I think all good games are like about, because it's very hard. You can only play your hand a certain way, right? In most games, whether it's poker or like I played a bit of poker, but essentially the other person will lose the game you won't necessarily win it. And that's why Driving Blade excels or has some kind of edge in a way over Warrior's Valor, because Warrior's Valor is very much on the table in front of you. Driving Blade, you never know what's coming next.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the uncertainty of Driving Blade, because the go-again is guaranteed, not the weapon second hit, but just another action point being utilized. Well, I think, like, all of the Warrior actions are actually probably garbage, if not trash.
I think Nature's Pilgrimage is very, very, very strong. And I don't know, a lot of Warrior decks I see not running it. It's, in a way, Nature's Pilgrimage is this, well, no. Essentially, it functions
garbage,
the same way.
It's garbage, right? Because, like, the damage is preemptive. You can predict what's coming at you.
It's
Sharpened Steel. It's Sharpened Steel for a battered effect.
Sharpened Steel is worse, and the best Sharpened Steel is, I think, probably the yellow one, maybe even the blue one.
Definitely the blue one. Definitely.
It just forces you.
You kill an equipment or an extra card. It's great.
It depends. If you're playing Ninja, the yellow one actually has gas value.
What's your reasoning?
The reasoning is it forces them to block with two. Well, they need to block with a combo card. They can't block with two openers.
Gotcha.
Not that they ever really will, but that is relevant that they have two defense cards and not threes all the time. So, you know, your three and your two gets over a double two block, so you can play it in a certain way. The reason, going back to Nature's Pilgrimage, the card is very good, is because in the exact same way that Driving Blade forces you to over-defend, Nature's Pilgrimage forces you to over-defend. Because if it actually gets through and the deck is built right, it's absolute fire. Like, yeah, it's the same as Mask, right? You're getting free cards, which is just silly.
Yeah.
Any card that gets you free cards is, like, very good and needs to be treated with a lot of respect.
Essentially turning your weapon into a snatch. Like,
exactly. A six damage snatch is nothing to laugh about.
Definitely not.
Again, you know, you're playing against Ninja. They have to discard 2-3 cost defenses, or they can flick flack and drop a 2 with it as well. But you're like, I guess it depends how you built it. A lot of Warriors
it's hard, right? Because the good cards are the attack reactions, and if your deck's got a high density of those, then you're not going to flip too much off the Pilgrimage.
Yeah, I would say that the attack reaction Warrior is not the best version, and that's giving away good tech for Auckland 10K, so people should start hunting about. But again, this is based on, what, like 15 games? So my opinion is, I won a limited event, my constructor gameplay is not good, but it doesn't seem like the best version to me. But that, and part of that is the fact that I think people are so worried about it, right? Like, Warrior seemed to be the first deck that came out, and people played it, and everyone on the forums, you go back, I don't know when it was, what are we now? Going into December, probably early November, like, everyone was crying wolf. They're like, Warrior's so OP, Warrior's so OP, it's going to be so hard.
6-0 at my locals.
Yeah.
9-0 at my locals.
I posted straight away. I was like, Warrior's not OP, just wait, it'll fix itself. And, like, I don't claim to be a prophet, because I'm going to get some terrible calls wrong about Auckland 10K, I'm sure. But this was one of the spots where I was like, I think partly because I played against Warrior at the 10K, and I realized, the trick is you can just let them hit you, right? And people hadn't figured that out yet. And once people realize that you don't have to defend, I mean, there's turns where the Warrior will come in and they'll threat them with three cards in hand and you let it hit. And then they're like, oh, I don't have a glint and you didn't defend, so I can't Singing Steel Blade for my glint. And I used my Refraction Bolters way too early in the game, so they're not a threat anymore. I'm just going to set one to the arsenal and lose out, you know, two cards of play.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to utilize the full four card hand.
And so that is where the Warrior action comes in, because it forces the card out the opposing hand, right? Like, I can play it, and even though you know what to do, I kind of make you make a bad decision. Like, you have to defend. So you can't make the good decision of not defending. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's sort of like what I talked to you about at Auckland 10K as well. Like, all I want to do is make my opponents make bad decisions, or at least feel like they make bad decisions so they don't make good decisions like that.
Yeah, you put them in the hot seat where they make the call of what's right or wrong, and usually you'll be able to dictate what they make into wrong anyway. And I feel like Constructed, you'll actually be able to leverage that a lot more. Especially with Ninja. Like, I keep going back to the Mask. It is so oppressing. I just wonder if you can just like not care about the mask, but
You
surely
definitely
you have
cannot
to
care about
care.
the mask. I think what you have to realize is that if you block the third attack, it is quite hard for the mask to trigger.
The third attack's going to be open the
No. Okay, but look, we've talked about if you Kodachi head jab, then you have to block the head jab, which is pretty strong. But I think the real trick against Ninja, and if it becomes the deck to beat at 10K, the only tech advice I can give is you can't let them take the tempo. And actually, this is coming from like more and more, I think that, or I've decided that people are too worried about tempo. They're like, oh, you've got tempo, this is really bad, I have to flip it. I think the only case that's very true is Ninja, because every card they're playing is generating like it's about plus 0.3 of a card's advantage every time they combo a card on top. So like in a full turn, they'll get over a card's full advantage, and that's if they don't hit their mask and they don't hit one of their, like, they can run 15 copies of Snatch essentially with the Whelming Gust Wave, right? Which is just,
Exactly.
it's painful. But
Yeah. I think the factor in there as well is normally the advantage of being the defensive and giving up tempo is eventually your opponent won't have the four card hand that breaks through the 12 damage barrier or whatever, and that's when you
exactly.
regain it. But with Ninja, every card is every card. Like Katsu's ability just threatens like so much consistency, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I think the two pieces of advice I've got from playing limitedly against it is block a lot early on and then try and take the fight at the mid to late game. I think that's pretty important, because at the start they are going to get damaged through, but you can't let them, like, you cannot let them get you down to 20 in the first two turns, or it's definitely over. And then the second piece is that you need to, like, once you decide to go, you need to make sure that tempo at least stays even, and it stays even at less than four cards, which is why you can't be low, right? Because as soon as you're within 20, they can choose to take a hit and threaten lethal. So you need to be at like 30, maybe life gains where you go against Ninja. I don't know. That's an interesting thought. I just thought that then.
But the only real viable life gain is going to be like what, Tome or something.
Yeah, and you have to not attack for that, which is,
Yeah, you have to
I mean,
like
not
take a
defend.
hit. Yeah, and Ninja's going to deal more than six.
No,
Like
I
if.
guess that's not true, actually. You can Tome for two and Arsenal one with a Fendals at any given time, which is all right. Right, so on your turn, like, let's say you Arsenal the Tome and then draw four, pass, they attack, you discard four. On your turn, you pop your tunic, you draw two cards, you gain two life, you set one to the arsenal. It's
Yeah,
not
smack
actually,
four.
it's not the worst, it's not the worst turn there. You probably came out plus two. Which, I
Yeah.
mean, you could run a Red Sigil instead, I guess, and maybe it's doing better, but there's probably
It's
more.
definitely better than Red Sigil, that's for sure. Because you're dealing four and you got the Arsenal values as well.
And then if you actually get to play it on a turn, well, it depends. If you're not playing Brute, then it's very rare that you're ever going to get to play it for the value of like plus
No,
five and a swing. But
I'm not sure if people know that like you just don't play Tome outside of Brute.
I'm going to make it work, man. That's
Yeah,
it.
I hope you
There's a challenge.
do.
I'm playing Time Snap Potion and Tome, and I'm going long, eh? We're going for the turn.
Driving blade into Tome deck.
Driving Blade into Tome. That's gas, man. I'm going to try it out. And then
So
what? Just
guys,
end with four cards in hand?
yeah, just like. Don't need that end step, whatever. You're just digging for better Arsenal pools, man. That's it.
Nah, man. It's
Yeah,
Driving Blade into Time Snap Potion, and then next turn, Time Snap Potion into Tome, into Driving Blade, and we're away. Like, it's a loop, bro.
just
And
use
then
Crazy Brew. Just get all the value at this point. Like,
use Crazy Brew.
that card has to be some potential because Energy Potion is so good.
I mean, it's positive EV, right? But I would
It is
almost,
positive EV.
it's definitely positive EV. It's positive loads of EV as well, actually. It's like almost positive plus one card, which is nutty.
I did the math for it before. You're trading a third of an action point for like a third of every resource.
You're trading a third of an action point. Don't I trade a whole action point?
Oh no, because
Oh no,
that
because I only
the
lose one time. I see what you're
yeah.
saying. Yeah. but you do lose your turn to attack. But it is, yeah, that makes it overall like about positive one card, right? Which is good.
Just a little bit more.
That's one of the best. That's one of the best cards in the game.
Absolutely.
If we get to play 100 round tournaments.
Yeah. Yes.
But also, it feels good when you just roll 5 or 6, right?
Yeah, it feels real bad when you roll a 1 in the semifinals. It feels real bad. And you're on 2.
You should have used it earlier, man. Never save it to the end.
I had to push.
It's asking for so much trouble.
Absolutely.
You probably would have won if you gained 2 life as well. Just think of that. No,
no way.
It's, I don't know, it's tough. The card is very good, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's looked down upon quite often. The only downside is the usage of... it's not instant to gain the resources like it is for energy potions, so you can't pay for defense reactions or whatever.
It's just, yeah, like, while we're talking about random potions, I wish Time Snap Potion could be used, and I guess they need to be careful, because if you said cards never go out of...
Rotation,
then... You have to be careful with things that are giving you 2 action points early on, right?
Yeah.
But even if it was like instant gain 1 action point, I think it would be much more playable than it is. Because the fact that you you have to signal the fact that you're coming in for a big turn is, I don't know why, it's terrible. But
instant gain an action point would be dumb.
It's only viable with Tome of Fendel for every other class. That's the only way I can see Time Snap Potion being used.
Just Snatch just goes into every deck as well. Like, you just load up on everything.
I think that's my worry currently, is that all the low-cost cards are very good, and none of the high-cost cards seem to compensate for that enough.
Like, what is the highest-cost card that we'll actually see play?
It's Crippling Crush, and people love it, but it's not as good as it seems.
It's very medium.
It's like, again, it's a positive EV card in that it's effectively an effect of 17 for 7. Well, it's more like 17 for 9, because you aren't really going to get the crush off without using your hero power.
Yeah.
But 17 for 9 is still slightly over. It's one card up on default, I think, because you should get about 8 for 3.
There might be some value in understanding that, like, you're probably wrecking a couple of equipment on the first one.
Yeah. It's true. You'll get through some. That's an interesting question. Do you think that against Ninja, Iron Rot equipment, and this is actually on the forum just before, someone's asking about Merchant's Hood versus Iron Rot, do you think there is value in playing the one defense?
Oh, yeah,
100%. Over some other random cards?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I actually don't think the hood's very good in Constructed.
You think the hood's not good in Constructed?
Not in Constructed. The deck is too large. Like, I'm not exactly sure what you're digging for. In Limited, it is fantastic because you can actually control your deck size a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless for some reason, for example, you need a key card, like against Warrior, you just need the defense reactions. Like, you just need the maximum amount of unmovables as often as possible, and that's your strategy. Because I think Unmovable is the best card against Warrior or Steelblade Shunt. But I can't imagine Hood being that good in Constructed. I think the one defense is insane. Like, that's actually a lot. It's a third of a card.
I guess it is a third of a card. And actually, the one defense, I think, a lot of the time is like the difference between Whelming Gust Wave early on being 1 card or 2 cards, right?
Yeah.
Or Snatch. Like, we talk about how good Snatch is.
Yeah, and those cards are going to be prevalent, so you need to combat them.
So we're talking Iron Rot Boots, Iron Rot Helmet, Guardian Chest, Blade Break 2, or whatever, Battle Worn 2. And then...
In Guardian, you have to play the Forge 4 equipment.
Yeah, okay, so that you can keep spamming it.
Yeah.
But you could just... If you're on just 1 Forged of War... No, but then they don't attack the turn you play the Forged of War and you get 0 value from it.
Yeah, like you have to play Forged for War and...
All the weird equipments.
You only can play 2 of them because you play the other 2 Guardian equipment.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not going to cut...
Put the Guardian Helmet for the helm?
For nah, Hood.
It's not happening. Okay, that's fair enough. So you get to use the Goliath Gauntlets and...
Snapdragon.
The Snapdragon Scalers.
Snapdragon enables you to play Snatch late game.
Yes, which is actually
Hot.
very good.
Yeah.
Nice. Can we just run Snatch Guardian? Is this a
Yeah,
thing?
you're playing one snatch in Guardian. Definitely. And the reason, yeah, I'm not sure if you realize why Forge 4 is good. It's like one of the, I think, only two cards in the game that allow you to block multiple attacks with one card.
Right, if they close the combat chain.
If they close combat chain, or just if, even if they go again, like it's a one card that can block two separate attacks. So one Forge for War will block both Kadachi hits with it.
Ah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay,
Do you know what the other card
that's
is?
no.
Boneheaded Barrier.
Oh yeah, that card is absolute gas until you roll a one, and then it's pain.
Standard.
I mean, brute's all good for that. I actually rate, well, Boneheaded Barrier and Steelblade Shunt, I think, are extremely valuable because you can Fendil's Tunic them, so they're balanced around playing two cards. But you can Fendil it, right? Like, I think it's rare in a turn that you ever pitch two and then you want to play two Bonehead Barriers. I mean, you're going to do it if you have them, but it's not, you don't feel that good about doing it, right? Or,
No,
like,
I
in the same
agree.
turn, if you pitch two and you Steelblade the Shunt the first attack, and then for some reason you have to Steelblade Shunt a second attack, it's unlikely you're getting maximum value there. But the fact that you can Tunic and then use these cards, like, if you Tunic and roll a five, you're just it's massive, like it's out of this world. And if you Tunic and Steelblade Shunt for six, it's just so much value.
Yeah, one is the new zero, mate. Like,
One's the
Tunic
new
is kind of
zero.
just changed how cards are evaluated as well.
It's, yeah. What are the one cost card? I mean, Flock, very good.
Yeah, Flock is absurd.
Some of the brute attacks, I guess.
The one that makes you go again, the one that makes you draw a card, Savage Feast.
Yeah, a lot of them. Does that mean you think people should be paying a lot of attention to when the Tunic is active and worrying about what that means for the turns coming towards you?
Yeah, like if you're not utilizing your Tunic, it's not really worth it, right? Which is why I think Ninja will play more leg tapped versions, just because like it's a, essentially it's like a head jab that's gonna hit for four, which is like way better than any other version of head jab, because they have to block the two cards or lose an equipment. But yeah, you have to utilize the Tunic. It's the whole point of the card.
Yeah, nice. That's interesting. Any other like, do you think there's any sleeper cards? Something like any like is nimble like are any of these combos good? The Nimble Strike Nimblism or the what is it? Regurgitating Slog Slogism. Do you
No,
think either of these have?
Slogism is trash and constructed. Like blue Slogism is obviously absurd in limited. Like the other ones are not very good. But Nimble Strike is fine.
Nimble
Like
Strike is some value, right? Five to go again is quite good.
yeah, like the only unfortunate thing is like all the Nimblisms suck. Like, but red Nimblism into red Snatch, like you're just trading card for card. You're just trading one card for an extra card of theirs. It's not that impressive.
I think it's yeah, it's
It's not
not
that
that imp-
good.
I agree. It's not terrible. And the thing is, if you drop it, like the thing is against so like the spot in which I want to be trading cards the most is against Ninja, and most of the time when I offer to do three damage for their card, they can decline the trade and spit on me and then hit me for four, which
Yeah.
which means it's a bad card.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think as well. But you might think of it as 3.5 because of Nimble Strike, for example, long term.
Okay. Yeah. So it's slightly higher than that. Interesting. Okay. Some stuff to think about for constructed gameplay, huh?
Yeah.
I guess Scar for a Scar against Ninja is good because you should always be down. Actually, on that topic, I think the Ninja mirror matches will be super skill intensive and will be very good matchups to watch.
It's
I think
what you need to do if you want to play in Auckland. Like, I'm just
that's
gonna say it now. Like, you gotta know how to win that matchup.
because that's going to be very much a who blocks and when they block and don't make the mistake kind of game.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people would just be too scared and just think they would be able to race more if their hand's better. Unless your hand is obviously worse and like you just don't have any combo starters. But just hold like a yellow blue, attack for two, arsenal, block for six, go.
Yeah. I think sideboarding as well. Like, you know, a lot of the decks I make at the moment, you get the generic, but because I'm doing a lot of online testing at the moment, you don't necessarily, you haven't made the deck-specific matchups, and I think they change quite heavily, so...
Yeah, well, we're still trying to figure out the gauntlet decks, right? Like, what's the average deck that's going to be at the event?
Yeah, just ninja times how many people? Yeah. 70.
Do you think it's going to break 70, break 80?
When is it? In February?
Yeah. It's and tough. They're doing this Road to Auckland too, which I think is really bloody cool, how you can win, like, two nights accommodation.
Yeah, I've seen that. I feel like... I think it will break 70. I don't know if it will break 100 yet, but we're only 3 months in, right?
Mm.
Though, I think traditionally as well, constructed tournaments, I don't know about Magic, but they do a little better because people feel like they know their deck and stuff, whereas I think having limited tournaments so early on, you attract the professional gamers, and then other people are scared and they don't want to spend $60 or whatever it is to play in a tournament that they don't really understand, right? Like, you gotcha. You have to be a professional gambler and, or like a professional gamer and what did I just say? I'm gambling.
Think, yeah, I definitely did roll dice in the finals, not gonna lie.
You win some, you lose some, eh?
Mainly lose for me, but it's alright.
Yeah, well, mate, at least you're top eighting, you know. Are you going to Austin? Is that the next one?
That's next weekend, correct. I'm excited.
Flying over for 4 days again or something less.
Yep, out on the Friday, back on the Wednesday.
Awesome. Anything you expect to see? You going to slam drones if they come around first?
I bloody well hope so, mate. Like, I got teased by opening the first one and then the other one wheeling around me.
Wheeling around you. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
It's all right. But for those who don't know, there's going to 2.6 drones open per booster draft. So you can kind of expect to get two, which is like the absurd strategy. I hope no one from Austin listens to this. But,
yeah, I was going to say, you've talked about this now. People are just going to slam dunk it as soon as they open it.
Yeah.
But I like to trust that... Or, you know, I'm going to be the guy that I open the drone and I haven't opened the first one and it's pack two. And you know what? I'm going to send it around the table because I'm that asshole that's like, look, I don't want to waste my good pick. Someone else wastes their pick. I don't want to compromise.
No compromise.
No compromise. I'm just going straight brew or something, you know? Someone else will pick that because if I hype it up enough, and we keep telling people about it, people will be so scared that you don't have to pick the drones, man. Someone else picks them for you.
Exactly. And we already know how to beat it. We've already talked about it. But
exactly.
Yeah, it's not a worry anymore.
But you just want to you wanna run the drone deck, right? Because...
Absolutely. It's untimed rounds. Like, I have nothing to worry about.
That's it. Oh, is it best of three in the finals?
I think it's ad hoc. I think it got removed down to best of one.
Down to best of one. Okay.
Yeah. Like, my experience when we played was that you got to learn my entire deck after the first game, and there's no real surprises, and you can play your defense reactions and stuff way more effectively.
It makes a big difference.
Massive difference. There's argument that, like, I should hide my good cards in the first game and have them in the board, but I think it's very, very loose.
Whoa.
Like, all the pummels in the sideboard, for example, on the first game.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting, and I think that idea, like best of one, I get why it has to be best of one in all these tournaments, because you just couldn't have 3 hour rounds, right, which you may have, but it definitely changes the decks that are viable and what you play in all these things, I think, quite significantly.
Totally, like I don't think a drone deck would be very good at all in this early season.
Yeah, particularly because... you know, you end up with, inevitably, people talk. So, like, if you could play in a vacuum and you could play drone and no one told people you were playing drone, then it's fine. But inevitably, people will tell at the tournament. And then, you know, from round four onwards, people all know that you're playing drone. And that means everyone is already playing strategically against you. So it becomes much harder.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're playing something like, you know, like, Ninja with a couple tech pieces, maybe by round five, a tick card or two is out there, but it's, you know, a lot of the time, I think people will just have a thing being like, yep, that guy's playing Ninja. Or they will have looked down the table and seen you're playing Ninja.
Absolutely. So, it's fun, man, like the semantics around like the tournament structure, yeah. Like how word goes around. Like, I just know that you kill people in four turns, 5-5-5-5, done.
That's it. It's simple mathematics, man.
Absolutely.
But I think that is, people under it, like, you know, we're going loop, but people underestimate that about sealed, how fast the game can be, and at the same time, how slow it can be. So you have to figure out how your deck does damage. And this is why Ninja isn't drafted at the moment, right? Because to push your damage in Ninja in the limited format is actually quite difficult, because you can't guarantee that you'll get to those five card, six card turns. I'd love to see what happens if someone opens a Mask of Momentum in their pack and then slams a Ninja. I imagine they will crush the whole tournament.
Yeah, if you get it from the very beginning, it's, you know, it's pretty hard to mess that up.
Exactly. But like, outside of that, it's very hard to find the spot in which you get guaranteed damage as a Ninja. As a Brute, it is possible, but again, it's not as easy. You know, it's hard to get those Intimidate chains that we're beginning to see in Constructed, where people Intimidate 3 and then swing for 14 or something. But in with Warrior or Guardian in Limited, it's very easy to push your damage through. Like, it's common, even, to manage to get your plus 3 in or your plus 5 in each turn. So it's the reason why they stand out as limited classes, and the other ones need to be, like, slightly overpowered to choose them over the others.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not just common. The Guardian's inbuilt into the hero. Like, exactly. The damage is just, like, obviously there. Which is probably why it's like the most oppressive character in Limited right now. I don't necessarily think it's the best either.
And it's inbuilt, and then like, it's inbuilt for a lot, right? Because the general attack value of your attacks is higher as well. So like
7+, yeah.
Yeah, so you're inbuilt hitting for like 4 at a weak shot, and then if you're just running the reds like I was, because it's draft and you can, you're like inbuilt, like I said, for 5+. You know, every turn, and all you have to do that, because actually, a lot of the like lower cost Guardian cards will hit for 7-8, right? So you don't need to be picking up Spinal Crusher and stuff. You can just be.
You kind of don't want those cards anyway. They're kind of way too expensive,
right? Because you don't get your 9 pitch. So instead, you just want to pick up your 2 blues and you want to play Buckling Blow and swing for 8 and dominate them, and then force them to use up all their armor on turn 1, which is always a bit of a laugh. And because they all only have -1, right? So if they don't use it, they essentially waste an armor point. And then the next turn, you crush them and you get rid of the arsenal, and now it's pretty much game over because you're up 2 cards.
Yeah, let alone the damage.
Exactly.
Yeah. It just sounds a little bit too easy when you say it like that.
Exactly, though, you know? So draft Guardian, guys. And maybe, I think there were 3 Guardians even at the Auckland 10K table, and my deck does look like a bit of a joke
compared to the others. Every single one of them has been 3 Guardians.
Yeah. And only 1 Ninja? Were you the only Ninja, or there was 2?
No, there's 2 Ninja in my one, but...
So there was only 1 Brute then?
It might have been 2-2-2.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how there was another Ninja at my table. I definitely didn't feel like there was.
Okay.
Wheeled every red card. Every red card.
But I guess they went for all the blue cards.
Fair enough. Kodachi's good.
I don't know if fair enough is you, Kodachi. Well, mate, 2 damage a turn. You only need to get in for 10 turns and you're there, right? So you can't argue with that.
I definitely can't. Like, that's a true statement.
But I guess, I don't know, 30 card deck, 4. So you only get 7.5 turns before you're through the deck, right? So
you get the surplus.
You get the surplus. So, like, you will get to it, but you're blocking and stuff like that. It's all gone sideways.
Yeah. So you're going to get additional 2 turns. So 9. Oh, you're short by 2 damage. That sucks.
You got to play Snatch. Blue, Snatch.
You need
red.
A drone.
Perfect.
Love it.
All good.
Yeah. Do you have any closing thoughts? Anything that you want to leave people to hype off with? Or... what are you doing over Christmas break? Anything cool?
Mate, nothing too crazy for me. I'll just be sitting in sunshine, drinking wine, looking at a beach, eh?
Waiting to come out of retirement just to take, livelihood again.
Nah, I think probably the only good playtesting I'll get done is like I'll boot camp one weekend with probably one mate or two mates, and we'll just sit inside and play a game 12 hours a day for the next two, and see what happens. Which is essentially what I did for 10K. I boot camped one day beforehand, and it's in like constructed. Like I said, it's not as good. I wasn't gonna play the constructed game because I think the edge is much lower. And like I said, if you're a professional gambler, then it's not such a good idea. But the game is fun enough that, and like there's an excuse to go see people that I'll play it, even though I think the chance of winning is much, much lower for me than what it was for the previous one.
Yeah, and that's the added benefit too, right? Like the game is, like, just to reiterate for the thousandth time over, like, every social media platform, insanely fun. Like, this is probably the most fun I've ever had playing a game.
That's cool.
Would you concur?
I love VR System Man, so that's the only other game I played, which was years ago. That would be like 15 years ago. Marvel vs. DC, so it was all your comic book cards. And that game was mental as well. I think I've only dabbled in Magic, but VR System seemed like it had a lot less flaws than Magic, and all card games that come out now should, because Magic was created way back when. I know it's super popular, but essentially the fundamental mechanics of it haven't changed, and it's like, yes, you can fix some of it with cards, but at the end of the day, mana is mana, and until they start letting you put down cards face down, there's always going to be issues, and you're always going to have statistical anomalies that lose you games where which feel very unfair, right? Whereas, the VR system, you had essentially a similar resource thing where you put one down each turn, and then if you put certain cards down, you could flip them up and use them, and if you put a character card down, you couldn't use it, but it was still a resource, right? So like, it
Yeah,
allowed you.
this mechanic's been used in like plenty of other games to solve the mana screw problem.
Exactly. And so like, it felt good. There was lots of like, by the time I got to play it from the start like this, and so like I understood it pretty well, and the combo decks were rampant everywhere, which is my kind of game, which is why I'm disappointed about this at the moment, because there's not a big enough card pool to run any crazy combos, really.
Just
I
think of
guess
Ninja as a combo deck. You're reducing what options they have. It's
you're
fine.
reducing what options. You're actually playing combo discard.
Yeah, that's right. Flick flack.
Flick flack. But I think, I mean, maybe I can view Pummel as a combo deck, and I'll just play Pummel at 10K, which I think is super strong as well.
Don't leak too much tech now, all right? Like, zip that lips of yours.
Mate, I think I'm just gonna run 9 pummels,
Don't
and
talk too much.
I'm gonna run Guardian, and I'm gonna swing for 5 plus 4. Right? Every turn, that's 9. I kill you in 5 turns. Just same as Sealed, man.
Cartless
Easy,
Crush
does
for
it.
five. Do you block? Yes, I do. Pummel, go.
And then you attack me with 3 cards, and then I rinse and repeat over and over. In fact, I'm making the deck right now. Fuck it, this sounds overpowered.
Yeah, well, it is, right? Like,
So what did we just say? Guardian,
Cartless Crush,
Pummel.
Pummel.
Perfect. And I just want the weak ones, right? You know what I'm gonna do? Actually,
The
crush
ones where they can
confidence.
block, yeah.
Crush confidence so that you feel real. Your Katsu can't say, oh man, the
Oh,
deck is
dude, that's
made.
so hot. Like, my head drops look so miserable now.
Or your sync below in your hand. Think of like all your flick flacks and your sync below that just are dead cards as soon as a confidence crush. Sounds great. This is tech. That's the last tech that I'm hyped about. I'm building Guardian Pummel right now.
Okay, we'll see what level you end up on in February, but it'll be really interesting.
Think, yeah, we will. I can just, like I'm a dice roll wizard. You're rolling some ones against me, and so if I'm top tabling, you're not top tabling.
No, I can top table. I just won't finish at the top seat. That's
That's it. Nice and easy.
fine. Love it. Yeah, that's probably better and more bold. It'd be hard to make it, but still, 3 months is a long time. Well, maybe 2.5, but a long time away.
Yeah, it is. A lot of tech will come up by then.
Yeah, we'll probably leak some more. Can we
Nice.
run 12 pummels?
What do you do? Like three? Well, actually,
Remembrance,
you can. Yeah,
they counter.
exactly.
Remembrance doesn't get attack reactions.
Oh man, just sideboard three and put 9 in the deck. It's all good.
Red and magenta pummels. Done.
Yeah, we should ask if that's legal. I mean, if it is, ninjas just got a wee bit better, eh?
Just a wee bit, yeah. Remember, magenta snatch, your go.
That's it.
Love it. All right, man, thanks for coming on and having this chat.
Well, good. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. I guess I'll see you in February. Hope to join you in that boot camp, but be there for an extended amount of time.
Just make the flight over. That's it.
Will do. Come to Austin. Do it next week.
What come to Austin. I mean, I could, but...
All right, see you then. Thanks, everybody. All right, catch you later.
See ya. Joe.